Hello, how are you? Welcome to episode number 23 of the podcast Then and Now. I'm your host, John Shomo, and I got to level with you. As the summer of 2024 is progressing, there are more and more and more things that I try to get into these podcasts, and it's driving me crazy a little bit. I have an episode sheet for each podcast to help me plan it out and organize it. And when we started, there were three or four things on it. It's pretty easy to read and so forth. I gotta tell you, it's getting pretty crowded here. I may make a little adjustment as we get into the college football season. I may do a separate podcast just about that sport so that I can clean up some of this other stuff and make it a little bit more organized for the regular podcast. We'll see. That's a ways off still. But that thought is running around in my head here. So let's get to it. Before we get to the dates and birthdays and so forth, I have a birthday that I omitted last week. My contemporary, who used to inhabit room 1121 at Talmadge High School, 108 in the old high school, we taught together for over, gee whiz, 25 years, I think it was. Seems hard to believe. Happy birthday to the great Sue Whitman, my good friend. I missed that one last week, and as I record this, it's her birthday. So happy birthday, Sue. All right, let's head to the facts and anniversaries and birthdays. Starting with Wednesday, July 31st. On that date in 1932, the first ever baseball game was played at Cleveland Municipal Stadium. The Philadelphia Athletics defeated the Cleveland Indians 1-0 in that first game. The Athletics have moved from Philadelphia to Kansas City to Oakland and soon to Sacramento and eventually maybe to Las Vegas. The vagabond franchise of Major League Baseball. The Disney Corporation purchased the ABC Television Network and the ESPN networks on July 31st, 1995. They're still owned by the mouse, if you will. Birthdays on that date include the late Kurt Gowdy, who was probably the most renowned sports announcer in the United States in his heyday. Kurt Gowdy, born July 31st, 1919, he was a great athlete at the University of Wyoming. If you saw Kurt Gowdy on a telecast, you knew it was a big game. He did the Super Bowl, he did the Rose Bowl, he did the World Series. He was the guy. He was the voice of all of those big events back in my childhood, at least. Vic Davalio, who just passed away a year or so ago, former center fielder with several teams, Cleveland All-Star in 1965. Vic Davalio, born July 31st, 1939. Should mention that he was a member of the 1971 World Champion Pittsburgh Pirates. Mark Cuban, billionaire owner of the Dallas Mavericks, entrepreneur. Mark Cuban turns 66 on July 31st. Wesley Snipes, the actor, turns 62. Author J.K. Rowling of the Harry Potter series turns 59. Actor B.J. Novak, who's been in several big roles, but most people would know him best as Ryan from The Office. B.J. Novak will be 45. And three-time Stanley Cup champion from the Pittsburgh Penguins, Evgeny Malkin, number 71, is 38 years old today, tomorrow, as I record this, July 31st. All right, August 1st. 1834, Great Britain abolished slavery. They certainly beat us to that punch, didn't they? Colorado became the 38th state. It's known as the Centennial State because that happened in 1876. The first ever big rock and roll benefit show for a worthy cause happened on August 1st, 1971. Actually, there were two shows that night, that afternoon and that night at Madison Square Garden. It was called the Concert for Bangladesh. It was the brainchild of George Harrison, the former Beatle, and boy, there were some great stars at that one, Bob Dylan among them. If you ever get to see the film, it was pretty amazing. 1 year ago, August 1st, 2023, Donald Trump was indicted on charges stemming from the January 6th insurrection. That case, like the others, is going slowly, to say the least. Jerry Garcia, the kind of spirit leader and guitarist of the Grateful Dead, born August 1st, 1942, and actor Jason Momoa will turn 45 on August 1st. All right, August 2nd, On August 2nd, 1943, the U.S. naval ship PT-109, piloted by Lieutenant J.G. John F. Kennedy, was struck and sunk by a Japanese destroyer in the South Pacific. Lieutenant Kennedy swam to shore a couple of miles with one of his wounded shipmates on his back. Several of his crew made it to an island where they carved a message in a coconut or something and had some native islanders get it to some Aussies who rescued them on the island. That's a true story. It's really amazing, the story of PT-109. Iraq invaded Kuwait. Many of us remember this very well. On August 2nd, 1990, that evening, President Bush ordered U.S. troops to prepare to move to Saudi Arabia. 5,000 U.S. troops did go fairly quickly over to Saudi Arabia to show force and protect Saudi Arabia. Carol O'Connor, the actor who played Archie Bunker in the never-to-be-forgotten role on All in the Family, great CBS show of the 70s. Carol O'Connor would have been 100 years old on August 2nd. Kristaps Porzingis of the world champion Boston Celtics will be 29. And this last guy, James Donald Bowman, born in Ohio, changed his name three or four times. He's now known as J.D. Vance, the Republican candidate for vice president. He will be 40 on August 2nd. Moving to August 3rd, Christopher Columbus, you've heard of him, set sail from Spain, thought he was going to India, made a lot of mistakes, but he was brave and he got there, I guess, on August 3rd, 1492. Columbus, a bit overrated in history, in my humble opinion. The Firestone Tire and Rubber Company was founded by Harvey S. Firestone in Akron, Ohio, on August 3rd, 1900. The Commissioner of Baseball, the first commissioner, Kennesaw Mountain Landis, banned eight Chicago White Sox players for life on August 3rd, 1921, for their role in a scheme to throw the World Series of 1919, intentionally make mistakes and lose games based on gamblers paying them money. Long story short, if you want to know about that, there's a great book and movie called Eight Men Out that'll teach you a lot about that incident. Gee, the White Sox are kind of playing like they're throwing games right now. Gee whiz. On August 3rd, 1923, President Warren Harding, back from a cruise to Alaska in San Francisco, passed away, probably of a heart attack. It's one of those things that's never really been solidly proven by historians. Harding died August 3rd, 1923. Calvin Coolidge was awakened in the middle of the night at his parents' farm in Vermont and was sworn in by his father. How about that? His father was a retired justice of the peace and swore in his son as president of the United States on the morning of August 3rd, 1923. That's really amazing. Satchel Paige, we've brought him up a few times in past podcasts. He's such a character and such a great, great baseball player. Satchel Paige's first Major League Baseball start after pitching in the Negro Leagues for I don't know how many years was on August 3rd, 1948. It was a 5-3 win for the Cleveland Indians in their World Championship season of 1948. Tony Bennett, the great singer who just passed away recently, Tony Bennett would have been 98 years old on August 3rd. Martin Sheen, yes, President Bartlet to those of us who know and love the West Wing. Martin Sheen will be 84 on August 3rd. Martha Stewart will be 83 on August 3rd. And some guy named Tom Brady, I forget where he went to college. Tom Brady will be 47 on August 3rd. More about his alma mater later here. Okay, August 4th, Billboard magazine published their Hot 100 singles chart for the first time on August 4th, 1958, just a couple of months before I was born. The first number one hit in the Billboard Top 100 was the song Poor Little Fool by Ricky Nelson. How about that? That's good trivia. On August 4th, 1985, two players reached great milestones in Major League Baseball on separate coasts. Out in Anaheim, Rod Carew of the Angels got his 3,000th hit, and in the Bronx, New York, the White Sox, Tom Seaver won his 300th game against the Yankees. Those two guys are both legends of the game for sure. Louis Armstrong, the great jazz musician, born August 4th, 1901. There are some real birthdays here on this date. The 44th President of the United States, Barack Obama, will be 63 on August 4th. Roger Clemens, one of the great pitchers in baseball history, his career is rather sullied by the steroid era, which he participated in. Roger Clemens will be 62, not in the Hall of Fame, not going to get there anytime soon, I don't believe. The Democratic leader in the House of Representatives, Hakeem Jeffries of New York, will be 54 on August 4th. Many times NASCAR champion Jeff Gordon will be 53 on August 4th. And the director of the award-winning film Barbie, Greta Gerwig, will be 41. Moving to August 5th, here's some trivia for you. Where was the first electric traffic light installed? If you had Cleveland, Ohio, you were right. At East 105th and Euclid in Cleveland on August 5th, 1914, the first ever electric traffic light. How about that? The first ever radio broadcast of a Major League Baseball game. Boy, that's been a part of American life. Was August 5th, 1921 on the first radio station, that's KDKA Pittsburgh, which still broadcasts Pirates games, by the way. That game was broadcast live on KDKA from Forbes Field in Pittsburgh, where the Pirates defeated the Philadelphia Phillies 8-0. John F. Kennedy said this would have gone down, he thought this would go down as his greatest achievement as president. On August 5, 1963, the United States, Great Britain, and the Soviet Union together signed the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, which banned nuclear testing above ground in the atmosphere. Those three countries were the only participants, but it was a major step forward in limiting the testing of nuclear weapons. And he felt, in the very little time, unfortunately, that he had left, he didn't know that. He felt that that would be maybe the greatest achievement of his presidency. I don't think he was right on that, by the way. My favorite album of all time, Revolver, by those four lads from Liverpool, was released in the UK August 5th, 1966. The UK version is a better version, in my opinion, than the one that was released in the United States. The first man to walk on the moon, Wapakoneta, Ohio native Neil Armstrong, born August 5th, 1930. The coach who led the Miracle on Ice, the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team, to the gold medal in Lake Placid, Herb Brooks from Minnesota, born August 5, 1937. And Patrick Ewing, the Basketball Hall of Famer from Georgetown University and the New York Knicks. Patrick Ewing will be 62 on August 5th. Finally, August 6th, an understatement here that this was a landmark event. The Enola Gay, the airplane Enola Gay, the B-29, dropped an atomic bomb over Hiroshima, Japan on August 6, 1945. The bomb did not land on land. The bomb was designed to go off about 1,000 feet in the air to maximize the damage. That sounds cruel, but it was wartime. And that initiated the atomic age. The Help album was released in the United Kingdom to go along with the film by the same name, Help by the Beatles, released August 6, 1965. President Lyndon Johnson, in a landmark decision, one of many landmark pieces of legislation that he signed during his term, President Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act on August 6, 1965. Unfortunately, that act was semi-gutted by the current Supreme Court a few years ago. More about them here in a few minutes. First Lady Edith Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt's wife, born August 6, 1861. The tremendous comic actress, the late, great Lucille Ball, born August 6, 1911 in Western New York. And David Robinson, the Admiral, the graduate of the Naval Academy, who went on to a Hall of Fame career with the San Antonio Spurs. David Robinson will be 59 on August 6th. So there you have it. There are our facts and birthdays and so forth for the coming week. Let's move on. Hey, did you know the Olympics are going on in Paris? Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. First of all, the opening ceremony, which I did watch over the weekend. It was, I guess you would say, very, I don't know, French, I suppose. It should have been. It was the French telling their history in their very French way. I thought it could have been explained better by the NBC on-air personalities. It was Mike Tirico, who did okay, Peyton Manning, who didn't say much, and Kelly Clarkson, who said, "Oh, is that cool?" about 100 times during the ceremony. I thought they could have done a little bit more explaining. There's been some misinterpretation by certain groups of people here in the United States about what was being depicted in some of those scenes, and oh gosh, just all this outrage and so forth. It's the French. They're telling their stories. You can't expect anything different from the French, can you? I don't think so. Anyway, did watch it. I've been watching a little bit of the Olympics. I like watching track and field about more than anything else, and that doesn't take place till next week. That's the genesis, if you will, of the Olympic Games, in my opinion. The basketball, the Ohio, the U.S. basketball team won their first game over a very good Serbian team. I found it interesting that Jason Tatum, the most valuable player of the Boston Celtics, did not play coach's decision in the first game versus Serbia. Steve Kerr's a great coach, don't get me wrong, and they won handily versus a very good team. I think it will really kind of fuel JT for the upcoming NBA season. Maybe Kerr's a little sore about the last time the Warriors played the Boston Celtics this past season. It was a 140 to 88 drubbing by the world champions to be of the Golden State Warriors. Maybe he's a little sore about that. I don't know. Anyway, my last comment on the basketball was surprisingly good television commentary by the team of Noah Eagle and Dwyane Wade. I thought they were really good in their kind of debut on national television. That bodes well for NBC getting NBA games in this coming season. I would imagine they might be the top team, broadcast team for those. I thought they did quite a nice job. They were very good, and Dwyane Wade made some good comments, and just thought they did a great job. Okay, any more Olympics? Well, no, there'll be plenty more to talk about next week, I'm sure. Okay, on to the United States Supreme Court. President Biden yesterday in Austin, Texas, at the LBJ Library, proposed three pretty out there changes for the U.S. Supreme Court. And I want to deal with those one at a time here, if you will. First of all, he proposed that we expand the number of justices on the court. That's not the first time a president has proposed that. Many of you may remember. I certainly used to teach it. FDR and his court packing scheme in the 1930s, he tried to get as many as 15 justices on the court. That's up to Congress. I don't expect this Congress to do anything with it. They don't do much of anything anyway. But that's who would have to pass. You'd have to pass legislation like any other bill to expand the number of justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. That's not set in the Constitution. Okay. The other things I think might require a constitutional amendment, I'm not sure. He proposed a code of conduct. That might not require an amendment, but I don't know who would enforce the code of conduct on the nine Supreme Court justices. Who would have the power to do that? That sort of thing wasn't deemed necessary until a couple of the current justices seem to have gone rogue, and they don't recuse themselves on cases where they know people, and they're taking lavish paid vacations by political operatives, and that thing, kind of thing, just didn't happen until pretty much recently. So it wasn't really an issue. I really don't know how you'd pull that off, though. The other thing President Biden proposed was term limits of 18 years on Supreme Court justices. No other democracy in the world has lifetime terms for their Supreme Court. We do, as you probably know. I think that would take a constitutional amendment, and it certainly would take a constitutional amendment, and I don't see anything like that happening anytime soon either. They might be pretty good ideas, but in effect, I just don't, I don't see those things happening. I'll be surprised, let's say, if they do. The number of justices, as I said, is not anywhere in the Constitution, and we have a three good question. We have one of our three good questions about that topic, which I'll save talking about that till we get to our three good questions segment. Okay, next up, there's been some talk now that Vice President Harris is going to be the Democratic nominee. She was talking over the weekend about how she just has a good old-fashioned belly laugh. And I know it's really weird to be talking about presidential candidates and their laughs, I suppose, but I saw that little bit. And she says, just an old, good old-fashioned as you're sitting around with your friends and you laugh out loud. And, that's kind of refreshing, actually. Set me to thinking, and I'm not the only one. I've seen a couple of TV people say this too, after I did, by the way. Has anyone ever seen Donald Trump laugh? I'm serious. I don't ever remember seeing him just out and out laugh about anything. That's really, really strange. And I'll just leave it at that. Okay. And while we're on the subject of the politics, one more thing. There was a White Dudes for Harris meet and greet online last night as I record this that raised $4 million for her campaign. Some movie stars and TV stars were Bradley Whitford, Josh from The West Wing was one of them. And after that was announced that they had raised $4 million for the Harris for President campaign, Elon Musk shut down their Twitter account, their X account, if you will. So much for his promises of free speech on that platform. That guy needs to go. Okay, there's my editorial opinion on that guy. All right, one more, and it's a sports-related question. There was a story that came out yesterday from a guy who probably knows something that the NCAA is planning on announcing their preliminary sanctions on the Michigan Wolverines football program soon. Included in those sanctions, this report said, would be a 1 or 2 year postseason ban for the Wolverines. In other words, they would not be allowed to participate in any postseason games this coming season, the 2024 season, and maybe the 2025 season as well. It is not clear if there would be any more sanctions on them. It's very possible that there would be. I just want to compare that to something that happened a decade or so ago. Some of you may recall the 2010 Ohio State Buckeyes. I saw them play in person. Matt and I saw them play and beat Ohio University. They played the games that year. They won a Big Ten title. They won the Sugar Bowl. But those wins have all been vacated by the NCAA, wiped off the books. Their championship wiped off the books. Players were suspended. Why? Because several Ohio State players traded some of their memorabilia, jerseys and so forth, to tattoo parlors to get tattoos. Okay, now that may not be the most brilliant thing those guys ever did, but all of those sanctions on Ohio State cost Jim Tressel his job. Of course, he didn't really handle it very well. That's kind of what cost him his job. But that's the genesis of the thing that ran Jim Tressel out of the coach's job at Ohio State. Tattoos for memorabilia. Compare that to blatant illegal surveillance of opponents. Involving technology and video and computers and so forth for 2.5 seasons. Maybe I know I'm biased here, but that, I think that deserves a much harsher punishment than, tattoos for memorabilia. Boy, if they don't get more than a year or two postseason ban, I'm going to be on my high horse and urging others to do so to get those Ohio State wins back in that 2010 Big Ten title. That's absurd. Okay, there. That's how I feel about that stuff. All right, we move to our three good questions segment. And again, if you have a good question for us, please send it in to our email address at three good questions, THREE, good questions at gmail.com. That's three good questions at gmail.com. The first question is from my wife, the great Tammy. And it deals with the U.S. Supreme Court. She's a law school graduate, so she knows what she's talking about here. She asked, historically, when has the number of justices on the Supreme Court changed? Okay. I know that the first number was five. Originally, the first U.S. Supreme Court was five. George Washington appointed a sixth and appointed four others during his 2 terms. John Adams, and I had to look all this stuff up. John Adams and his Federalists reduced the number to five in 1801, right before he left office. Jefferson upped it to six. It eventually grew to nine during the antebellum period. That's the period prior to the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln, it eventually, yeah, it grew to nine. Lincoln added a 10th justice in 1863. The number was dropped to seven after he was assassinated, and finally came nine in 1869. It hasn't changed since 1869. There's no law, there's no constitutional requirement to have a certain number of justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. And again, we mentioned the FDR court packing scheme that happened in the 1930s. It didn't happen because he couldn't get Congress to pass it. If he'd have got Congress to pass it, he signed it into law, we would have had 15 Supreme Court justices in the mid to late 1930s. Didn't happen that way. So as this discussion rolls on, I just want everybody to be aware of what it would take, and there's a lot of hoops to jump through, if you will, to change that number. But it's not set in stone in the Constitution. Okay, thank you, Tammy, for that question. Gave us a great opportunity, gave me a chance to learn some more too. So thank you. All right, two more questions, and I'll save the answers for next week because they're that kind of question. Okay, they're from Jeff Cole. One is, what is the only state capital city to have none of its letters in the name of the state of which it is the capital? I'll repeat that again. What is the only state capital to have none of its letters in the state's name? There's only one. I'll leave it. I know the answer now, but I'll leave it up to the listeners. See if anybody else wants to email in the correct answer. I'll tip my hat to you on the next podcast. Okay. Another question from Jeff. What is the only country in the world with all five vowels in its name, and on what continent is it? Name the only country and its continent that has all five vowels in its name, in the name of the country. Okay, and we'll reveal those answers next week on episode number 24. Last week's question was answered by two of our listeners. I want to tip my hat to them here. One was Derek Tomello, who got 8 out of 9. The question was, what are the nine states currently that do not have an FBS football bowl subdivision, major college football team located in those states? He got 8 out of 9. Jeff Cole got 9 out of 9. So congratulations to both of you guys. Derek, former Suburban League champion golfer with the Talmadge Blue Devils, by the way. So thanks to both of you for that. There are nine of those states, okay? And we those guys got them. So there you go. All right. I believe, boy, let me take a look here at my sheet here. I think we've covered everything I wanted to cover today, believe it or not. Yeah, that's it. Okay. All right, so that's the end of this one. This is episode 23 of Then and Now. As always, thanks for choosing us. You have a lot of choices out there in podcasts, thousands and thousands and thousands of them. And I'm always very grateful to hear from people who have chosen to listen to ours. It's very gratifying. It makes me want to keep doing it. So thank you once again for listening, for choosing us. You can find us on Spotify. That email address, once again, is three good questions, spelled out THREE, three good questions at gmail.com. Thanks for listening. I'm John Shomo, signing off. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week, everybody.